Imagine a practice that doesn't come to a grinding halt when you want to do something crazy, like take a 3-day weekend or, heaven forbid, a 2-week holiday. A practice where you aren't the bottleneck because every single minute detail of every case doesn't have to pass through your hands to be completed correctly. A practice with fewer problems and happier clients because systems and processes have drastically reduced room for error and automated away some of your most frustrating and tedious work. A practice that can scale in a way that works for you and your lifestyle, where you aren't having to reinvent the wheel with each hire or maybe not have to hire anyone at all. That's what we are building in Rosen Institute's law firm Flywheel program. You can find out more at roseninstitute.com/join. There's no magic, just a straightforward, step-by-step approach to build a system for building systems in your practice, and more importantly, keeping those systems up to date, getting buy-in from your team, and making sure that your processes are followed so that you aren't the one keeping all those plates spinning. Registration closes soon. Come join us at roseninstitute.com/join.
This is Rosen Institute's Your Law Firm, where Lee Rosen and Ned Days cover management, marketing, finance, and new technologies for building the practice you deserve. Here's Lee Rosen.
It's good to be with you from Spain. We're in Seville, having been in Cordoba yesterday and Granada before that. For us, with our usual slow pace of travel, this feels a little bit like we're rushing. We've had just 5 nights in each of the cities we've visited. We've varied our pace over the years as we've been bopping around the world. We started pretty slow. In fact, our first stop was for 2 months in Berlin, but then we sped up a bit with lots of one-month stays interspersed with some road trips and some shorter adventures. And then in COVID, well, we really slowed way down in South Korea for nearly 4 months, and then Iceland for about the same, and Thailand for quite a few months. Since travel opened back up, we've moved quite a bit faster, and it might actually be time for us to slow down a little bit before too long. We're booked way out right now, so it's going to take us a little while to change our schedule. I'll mention, in case you're curious, that we post our itinerary at rosenfinder.com. We'd love to meet up with you if we're ever going to cross paths.
It's time for your tech tip. I am what experts call an awkward human being. Interacting with people isn't my strong suit. As a result, whenever I meet someone new in person, the entirety of my mental bandwidth is occupied by trying not to act like a weirdo. And the inevitable consequence is that I never remember the names of the people to whom I am introduced. Whether it is 30 days or 30 seconds later, I have to greet that person with something like, "Hey, man, how's it going?" I can feign humanity for a few minutes and engage in a fairly normal conversation, but afterwards I am mentally exhausted and can barely remember anything about the discussion. When we trained intake employees at the law firm, they were generally nervous right out of the gate, but we hired them because they were pleasant and well-adjusted humans, unlike yours truly. Personal interactions were fine, but for our intake people, being in a position where they were in charge, where they were telling people who were often a lot older and more established what to do, left them feeling a little awkward. It was always at least a little bit of a challenge to get them loosened up and talking to these people naturally. So we always impressed upon them at the outset that at the end of the day, it really didn't matter how many details they did or didn't remember to write down or ask about. All that mattered was that we got a name, a phone number, and a date and time for the consult. But in an ideal world, they would have worked through our entire form in our CRM, asked every single question, and typed everything directly into the software. But of course, that's never how it played out. More often than not, notes were taken on legal pads or index cards or stickies as they navigated the call. A big chunk of their time was actually spent copying over notes that they had taken manually into those fields in our CRM, and we just kept our fingers crossed that everything went in correctly and all those conflicts checks were performed. Attorney meetings were usually no better. A few notes scribbled on a legal pad and a hope and a prayer that they remembered all the important details once the conference was over so that everything could be entered into the software. Now, I'm bringing all of this up because I think data entry is dying, and these headaches are about to disappear. I'm sure manual data entry as we think of it will live on for quite a while for people who don't know any better, but we need to start rethinking the role of moving pieces of information back and forth from paper to software, from one app to another, and trying to remember all of those fiddly little details. These kinds of bottlenecks are quickly being erased, and if you are not preparing to take advantage of where the technology is headed, you can easily end up wasting time and money at best or adopting new tools incorrectly in a way that just complicates your systems even further at worst. I don't have a specific app or tool you need to be using, but I want to give you a sense of where all of this is headed and what you need to be planning for or not planning for as AI trivializes a lot of the data entry tasks that used to require hours and hours of human labor. We are very quickly going to be in a position where AI assistants that are listening to our calls or in-person meetings are not just going to give us transcripts and summaries, but pick out relevant details to populate our case management software, our CRM, and anything else we might need that data in. I've talked before about how I am a big fan of Fireflies.ai. It sits in your Zoom or Teams or Google Meets calls, records them, transcribes them, produces summaries and action items, and lets you ask questions about what was discussed. I'm just waiting for them to introduce some kind of smart glasses that flash people's first names over their heads, and I'll be all set. They have some very rudimentary integrations with Zoho, Salesforce, HubSpot, and Pipedrive. They can do basic call logging or upload a transcript to a record in those CRM suites. But pretty soon, I would expect we are going to be in a position where we can point these AI meeting assistants at specific fields in our software and tell them to update those fields if that information is mentioned in a call. There's already a service called Swift at swiftai.com that is offering to do this right now. You identify some fields that you want to be able to populate, and once a call is done, it tells you which details it's found, and you can confirm whether or not to send them to the client's Salesforce record. It only works with Zoom, Teams, and Salesforce right now, so it's probably not of much use to a lot of attorneys. But as it becomes easier to bring in these meeting assistants on our calls and in-person conversations, expect this to become standard fare across the board for a lot of software. These practice management systems and CRMs are all built to allow updating these fields and client records from third-party applications, and don't be surprised when you can indicate the fields you want to populate or update, and your software will start doing the same thing. In fact, you will likely have the option to just let the AI look at the fields on your client records and suggest which ones it has information for and can be updated. And it's not just things like intake calls or client meetings or case status updates that you can expect to have access to. JP Morgan has just teased that they are working on a tool they're calling DocLLM that is built specifically for understanding and extracting data from forms. They haven't yet released any code or demos, but their marketing blurbs are saying that this tool takes things a step farther than what we've come to expect from the normal LLM approach to documents that more or less operates on just the text content of a PDF or scan of a paper file, and takes into account visual cues and complex layouts to be much more effective at understanding and processing forms, invoices, receipts, reports, contracts, and similar records. And they are certainly not the only ones working on this. When we revamped our document management process more than a decade ago, we did what was fairly uncommon at the time and handed off our document filing and organizing to overseas virtual assistants. They labeled and organized and entered details while we slept. It was kind of magical, but it was still a bunch of manual data entry, copying discrete pieces of information from one place to another. And this is still the way a lot of practices are not just getting things done, but planning to get things done. They are building systems around the idea that we are always going to require warm bodies to not just label and file documents, but sort through bank statements or figure out if the court filing stamp is on a document. What we need to be thinking about is how should I be preparing for the inevitability of automatically updating my case management system with each call and email from a client? What will I be able to do when I don't just have a folder full of client documents I can hunt through to find what I need? I can have a conversation with a chatbot about what's in those documents and emails and calls and have it draw conclusions and create reports. What will I be able to build when allowing clients to connect their bank accounts or email accounts to our portal allows us to instantly gain insights or prepare for discovery or draft documents that used to take days? And maybe most importantly, how does that inform what my team looks like and what my practice looks like? When we moved our document processing to virtual assistants, it opened up the ability for the employee we had who was doing that previously to start working on things like planning events for referral outreach, something that she was interested in, and that was a much more stimulating and valuable use of her time. What will your people do? Should you be making different decisions about who you are hiring or not hiring as a result? And does this mean that remembering the client's name and not coming off like a weirdo is about to become the most important part of lawyering, and just about any other job for that matter? I'm Ned Days, and that's your tech tip.
And now for your moment of concise advice. Have you ever noticed how a simple act like crossing the street, it can reveal a lot about a society's culture? Let me share a tale of two countries, Germany and Spain, and how their approach to pedestrian signals might offer you some insights into the meetings that we as lawyers so often have to attend. During my travels in Germany, a country that I at least perceived as the epitome of orderliness, I was taken aback by a peculiar habit. Despite their reputation for rule following, Germans, they commonly ignore pedestrian signals at crosswalks. They choose to walk even when the light says stop. This jaywalking observation, it really shattered for me my preconceived ideas about German society strictly following all of the rules. Clearly, I got that one wrong. Now contrast Germany with Spain. Spain has this image of fun in the sun, drinking wine, eating jamón, but my experience in Spain, well, it paints a different picture. Contrary to this image of a less orderly and more boisterous society, Spaniards actually show remarkable discipline at crosswalks. There isn't much jaywalking, and when I do it myself, and I have felt the weight of lots of disapproving glances. I've realized that I've stepped out of line in a culture where waiting for the green light, well, that's the norm. So let's tie this back to your practice. Most of us attend meetings for the first time from time to time. You've been to plenty of first meetings in a new group, be it a bar association or a chamber of commerce or a board of directors or whatever it is. Lawyers go to meetings. We've all been there. We've done that. And after going to lots and lots of meetings, the patterns emerge, especially the patterns that we see exhibited when someone new shows up at the meeting for the first time. In these gatherings, I've noticed two types of people. First, there are those who dive in headfirst. They are sharing opinions and ideas without hesitation, even if it's their very first meeting of the group. And there are these other folks, the second group of folks, well, they are different. They hold back. They observe and absorb the group's dynamics. It's a little like comparing the German approach to crossing the street with the Spanish way. One group is quick to move while the other one waits for the right moment. But here's the thing, leading to my bit of concise advice. In my years of experience in group meetings, I've found that the ideas which gain traction in these groups, they usually come from those who have held back. These individuals, they're taking the time to read the room. They're understanding the group's culture and dynamics. They're the ones who earn trust and respect, making their eventual contributions all that much more impactful. It's not about being passive. It's about being strategic. In your first meeting, you might feel the urge to make a splash, to show your worth immediately, but there's wisdom in restraint. Observe, listen, understand the culture and the people. And then when you do contribute, your ideas are more likely to be accepted because they come from a place of understanding and respect for the group's dynamics. Of course, the strategy will vary with the context. In a short 2-day conference, you might start slowly in the first few hours before ramping up your participation as the day goes on. In a regular monthly meeting, something you attend every month, you might hold off on a major contribution for the first month or two before you jump in. So whether you're crossing a street in Germany or Spain or walking into a new meeting room, understanding and adapting to the cultural norms, that can make all the difference. It's not just about following the rules or breaking them. It's about knowing when to walk and when to wait, both literally and metaphorically. That's your moment of concise advice. Wrapping up from Sevilla, thanks for spending a few minutes with me and Ned today. We hope you have a great weekend and an even better week next week. Keep plugging away, moving forward, getting things done. You're on the right track. You'll get there. I promise. We're all in this together, and together we build better practices through better marketing, better management, and better technology. Until next time, I'm Lee Rosen.
Thanks for listening to Your Law Firm. Visit rosensrules.com for our free course on the 10 critical rules successful law firms follow.